The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Business 1440.
KYCR Golden Valley. A service of Salem Media Group. Stream on the go with the free Business 1440 app.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Two people who attended the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee conference in Washington earlier in the week have now tested positive for the coronavirus. The group made the disclosures on Friday via Twitter. The cases are the first link to the nation's capital. Thousands of people attended the AIPAC policy conference, including some members of Congress. Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo were actually among the speakers at that event as well. Florida health officials say two people who tested positive for the new coronavirus have died in that state. Those are the first deaths from the outbreak reported in Florida and on the East Coast as well. The coronavirus continues to play a role in the markets, downward trend for the most part, with the Dow yesterday down 257 points. Oil prices took a big hit, down $4.62 a barrel. This is SRN News.
If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950. Thanks to Genesis 950, I can have guests in my home without the shame of pet stains and odors. Genesis 950 with water breaks down the bonds of stains and odors so they're gone for good. Its antibacterial component removes pet odors from carpet and padding. All pet owners should have Genesis 950 on hand. I can even use it in my carpet cleaning machine. And it's green, so it's safe for my family and pets. Before you purchase new carpets, you must try Genesis 950. It's made in America. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner. But Genesis 950 is not just for pet stains. It's great for floors, bathrooms, kitchens, garages, oil and grease stains, wheels, tires, degreasing engines, and upholstery. It's available on Amazon. However, if you order a gallon direct at Genesis950.com, you'll receive a free spray bottle and discount using code Salem. That's Genesis950.com. Genesis950.com.
Here is your class valedictorian.
You want your child to succeed at every level in life. To succeed, they need a solid foundation. Your child's education is an opportunity to instill a lifetime's worth of Christ-inspired principles to create that foundation. At TwinCitiesTuitions.com, we help your child get into a private Christian school for 50% off their first year. For more information, visit TwinCitiesTuitions.com. That's TwinCitiesTuitions.com.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. And I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit MakeTheConnection.net to find out more.
The Wall Street Business Network is on the air. It's the King Banyan Show. As an educator and former legislator, Professor Banyan steps out of the classroom and onto the airwaves to break down the local and national economic news that matters to you.
Just say what you got, man.
It's the King Banyan Show on Business 1440. Now, here's King Banyan.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, Business 1440. We've been talking about jobs Saturday. Jobs report came out and was immediately ignored because everyone only wants to talk about coronavirus. And we'll do that too, but we're going to do that in the context of thinking about the Federal Reserve, which did a very extraordinary thing on Tuesday by cutting rates without a day other than a scheduled FOMC meeting. The Federal Open Market Committee can always meet by phone, and its rules allow it to vote electronically or through a phone system.
So they can take the action to reduce interest rates or increase interest rates without waiting for a scheduled meeting. Now, why would they do that? Well, one thing that they would have been watching carefully, I think, has been the path of interest rates. And as you've heard probably on many shows here on Business 1440 or some of our sister stations like AM 12A, The Patriot, where Mitch Berg will be on at 1 this afternoon. How many ads have you heard? Now's a great time to refinance your mortgage. My God, even I'm thinking of refinancing my mortgage because I think I can get you might even be able to find a rate below 3% from someplace. If not now, pretty soon. Why? Because the rate on 10-year treasuries, which I never thought would be below 2%, have now reached 1%. Was this clip, this is Mohamed El-Erian at Allianz commenting on the fact that maybe the U.S. is slowing down more than we think. And he's using a nice quick, this is a little 30-second analysis of interest rate differentials that I want to explain to you and why I think this might have been the element that convinced Jay Powell and others that they probably needed to act on the Fed funds rate. Go ahead and play that clip for me.
John, I look at another spread, and it's an important one. It's the difference between U.S. and Germany. Do you remember the days when that was at 280 basis points?
Yep.
240 basis points. We're below 150. And what that's telling you is that the bond market is also worried that the U.S. outperformance, relative to Europe in particular, is not going to be as great. So this is not just a generalized slowdown. This is one in which the U.S. also, unfortunately, is going to get dragged down more towards Europe. So be careful out there.
Now, El-Erian, who I understand there's some people who hear that accent, are like, oh, my goodness. But that's a very sharp comment. Because the supply shock is a global supply shock. Germany is just as integrated in terms of its supply chains as the United States. So if it is a supply shock only that was happening, why would the U.S., why would the differential between the United States and Germany compress as much as it did? Because that difference in interest rates, as it compresses, is signaling a number of items. It's signaling not just that, it's not just signaling, if it was just a supply shock, those rates should move fairly much together. And yes, there is some catch in terms of a zero bound that maybe leads to perhaps some tightening of that spread. But a 130 basis point change in the differential between U.S. and German government securities is pretty much only explained by the possibility that the U.S. is going to get hit worse. So either you have to believe there's a difference in the integration of the supply chain that makes the United States more exposed to disruption than Germany is, which I don't think is true, or there's something maybe happening on the demand side that makes the U.S. more vulnerable than Germany. And that's possibly true. I tweeted to you the Austin Goolsbee piece, which hopefully you had a chance to read during the break. If you're not following us on Twitter, #KBRS is the hashtag we use to chat with each other, not just during the show, but throughout the entire week. #KBRS, King Banyan Radio Show. Thanks again for listening. We appreciate that. If you think that's possibly true, then you have a theory of the case that would lead me to believe that maybe the Fed did want to do something. Because as I said before the break, if it's a demand shock, then there's a reason why the Fed might choose to act. As you heard Jan Hatzius say just before the break, there's a risk aversion shock, and I want to talk about risk aversion in some detail, but let me get through this first. Jay Powell then goes on to, okay, so this happened on Friday. So on Tuesday, Jay Powell comes out, announces they have their meeting. They vote their 50 basis point cut, which is old news. I'm not spending any time. I didn't really want to spend much time talking about the what he said in the press conference. I'm not going to read you the report. But what I do want to read to you is two questions that were asked of him. And the first one is from Rich Miller of Bloomberg, and you probably heard this here on Business 1440, where you can hear Bloomberg during the week. But he asks a question that makes it sound like he's not getting what it is the Fed is doing. And I want you to listen to the question and the answer, and I want you to study it really carefully and see if you can hear the difference of whether or not Chairman Powell is talking about supply or demand. Let's play that first clip of Jay Powell, please.
Rich Miller with Bloomberg. Thank you very much for having the press conference. Can you take us a little through the reasoning behind the rate cut a little bit more in depth? You know, was there a discussion? Some economists say this is a supply side shock. You know, the rate cuts are not particularly suitable for this. Others say, well, the supply side shock may morph into a demand shock. I wonder if you could just give us a little bit more depth on the reasoning behind the rate cut. Thank you.
Sure. I'd be glad to. So the virus outbreak is something that will require a multifaceted response. And that response will come, in the first instance, from healthcare professionals and health policy experts. It will also come from fiscal authorities, should they determine that a response is appropriate. And it will become from many other public and private sector actors, businesses, schools, state and local governments. But there's also a role for monetary policy. Monetary policy can be an effective tool to support overall economic activity. We do recognize that a rate cut will not reduce the rate of infection. It won't fix a broken supply chain. We get that. We don't think we have all the answers. But we do believe that our action will provide a meaningful boost to the economy. More specifically, it will support accommodative financial conditions and avoid a tightening of financial conditions, which can weigh on activity. And it will help boost household and business confidence. That's why you're seeing central banks around the world responding as they see appropriate in their particular institutional context.
So before the Fed action, there had been a meeting of the G7 financial ministers, and I believe the central bank governors were on the call too. They did not get together in a particular place. They did this conference electronically. And the surprise by Friday was that very few others had acted along with the Fed. Canada did, Australia did, nobody else. In particular, the EU has chosen not to change their rates, which is why that compression that El Arian saw is partly there. 50 of those points are a response to the Fed's cut. And so anyone who thinks, in my mind, that there isn't going to be some decrease in economic activity is likely, it's likely to be there. But the question is really, the question is really what happens on that private side. And one of the things that I think people should understand about the supply chain piece is there's a supply chain that goes in some direction. So we've been talking about the chain flowing from China to the United States or South Korea to the United States. To a lesser extent, because South Korea and Taiwan have been both very aggressive in dealing with the outbreak, the supply chain disruption may not be as large as I would have thought 3-4 weeks ago. So there's some question of what's happening there. There's a piece that I picked. It's from Keqin, which is a Chinese paper that's actually based around Wuhan. But I picked it up out of the Nikkei Asian Review. Starts with, lights go on, but no one goes to work. Local companies and officials are fraudulently boosting electricity consumption and other metrics in order to meet tough new back-to-work targets as the spread of the new coronavirus in China wanes. Investigation has found. As cases of COVID-19 in the country slowed in recent weeks, local governments in less affected regions pushed offices and factories to get back to work, typically by assigning concrete targets to district officials. Company insiders and local civil servants told Cation that being pressured to fulfill impossible quotas has forced them to cook the books. Again, take every data point that comes from China with a grain of salt, then pick up the shaker and put some more salt on it. We used to measure output in China, in Ukraine, when we didn't trust the data in Ukraine. What we did trust for data was what was happening with electricity consumption. And so they would tell us GDP was only down 15%. It was like, yes, but electricity consumption is down by more than double that. How do you explain that? Oh, we're getting more efficient in using electricity. No, you're not. And so we knew that those numbers were wrong. Well, China's doing it in the other direction. So there is a supply chain disruption. But there's also a lot of disruption that I think is happening on the demand side. And it's happening and you're going to see it first and foremost in travel and leisure. As people stop going out socially as much as they had before. The question is how much of that is going to happen. The question is how much is this going to help? But there's actually one more point to this that I need to raise of why the Fed might have done what it did. And then I'm going to tell you why it still worries me nonetheless, even though I think it's the right thing. I've got some serious worries about what the Fed is doing right now, and I'm going to explain to those to you right after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Limitless access to business and investment strategy. Listen to Business 1440 with our free app, your smart speaker, or with iHeart, TuneIn, and Radio.com. We live in the Twin Cities and invest worldwide.
Good morning, America.
Or is it? If you're one of the millions of Americans who did not sleep well last night, it's probably a pretty average morning.
But listen up, you sleep-deprived people. There's good news. A breakthrough sleep solution called Pronto Sleep.
And when we say Pronto, we mean Pronto. Pronto Sleep gently opens your nose to focus breathing and help you relax and fall asleep. And the built-in scent diffuser delivers a blend of four pure essential oils to help you stay asleep naturally.
And then Pronto replenishes the oils ready for the next night. Too easy, eh?
And in trials, 84% of people with trouble sleeping found Pronto helped them fall asleep, and 74% found it helped them stay asleep. So make every morning a
good morning, America.
With Pronto Sleep, available now at select Walgreens, Amazon, or at prontosleep.com.
Pronto Sleep from RhinoMed, bringing you advanced nasal therapies.
Runners, to your mark. Set.
Some may see a sprinter. At the NFHS, we see a future leader already off to the races. Some may see a volleyball player.
Good hit! Way to go, girl! Woo!
At the NFHS, we see a spike in confidence that will help her achieve her potential. What else do we see? Musicians learning to march to their own beat. We're the NFHS. The national leader and advocate for high school athletics and activities in America, helping today's teenagers develop the skills they need to become tomorrow's leaders. And we see it happening in communities across Minnesota every single day. Learn more about the NFHS commitment to youth at nfhs.org. This message presented by the NFHS, the National Federation of State High School Associations.
American Pressure!
Do you fix frozen drains, culverts, or use water to jet out pipes? At American Pressure, we have the know-how to fix your equipment and many of the parts and accessories to help you, from hand-carry hose reels, foot-activated valves, to jetting nozzles and hoses. American Pressure has many of the items you need to get your job done. Visit us at AmericanPressure.com. That's AmericanPressure.com.
It's smoked for 14 hours. We know you're going to love that pulled pork.
2141 Cliff Road in Eagan, and at RackShackBarbecue.com. Get that Rack Shack attack, Rack Shack Barbecue.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much of love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show. This is 1440. Thank you for listening. That's good, Eric. Gets a smile on my face, gets my foot tapping. That's good bumper music. It's a part of what you're doing is charging up the host as well as hopefully charging up our listeners, who are having quite a great chat over on our Twitter stream at @KBRS. If you want to join in on that, we've established Wall of Voodoo and Social Distortion both did the Johnny Cash song, did Ring of Fire. I owned them both. I owned both copies at one time because that was music I was into when I was a grad student. And then Lynn writes that that she and I both do have. I just remembered after she mentioned it. I remembered. Yes, I do have one. It's actually my wife's little boombox. I was only thinking about that little pocket transistor radio that I would take out to the treehouse in the trees on the back lot behind our home. We'd climb up the treehouse and then turn that on. We could, and the reception for the Red Sox game came in pretty strong there. Then we would, of course, also take that thing up to the beach. Anyway, let me continue with this thought. Okay, so the Jay Powell press conference, I didn't think did a great job, and my first thought was, well, Powell goofed it up. But again, if you listen to his response to that previous clip, I thought he had done a pretty good job in explaining, look, there's a role for monetary policy. We get we can't fix supply chains. We get that we're not going to reduce the rate of infection. We get all that. But there's a role here. And the role is not just to stand up the travel and tourism industries or the restaurants. The goal more generally is this. Accounts payable are going to go up and accounts receivables are going to go up dramatically in a period where you're getting this kind of supply distortion. You're going to have a lot of firms that are going to be involuntary financiers of other firms, many times across international borders. Right? I would have sent the payment, I would have expected payment for something, and because I couldn't quite get that thing done, I'm not getting paid yet. I mean, think about Boeing, which is another kind of supply shock. We've talked about this already. The failure of the Boeing equipment has led to a decrease in the production of aircraft eventually. But for a while, Boeing continued to produce the 737. Because they thought to the 37 MAX, because they said, well, we'll get it back up in the air if we want to make sure our supply chain stays in place. Well, that includes actually paying them. And if Boeing is paying them but not selling planes, the only way that can happen is that they have to borrow the money from somewhere. They're probably not doing that out of free cash flow. So it's very likely that they've gone into the debt markets and issued money in order to pay their suppliers while they wait to get that financing. Well, the same thing is happening. The same thing is happening in terms of this shock from coronavirus. There are people that are going to want to get paid. And some people who are not going to get paid. And so helping that out, that is, in fact, the definition of what a liquidity crisis is. And despite what one thinks about the Fed being way too easy and causing inflation, if the Fed's job is not to manage us through liquidity crises, then there's no reason to have it whatsoever. So that seemed all right. Then the very next question that comes, I want you to listen to this because I listened to the previous question. I'm like, okay, that's a pretty decent explanation. You're saying there's a demand shock. I don't think it's that large, but you do. You think it's worth dropping 50 basis points, even though no one wanted to come on with you. All right. All right, I get it. Then the very next question, Lan Mui, who I believe is at CNBC, says this.
From CNBC, can you tell us what you would do if the virus ends up being contained fairly quickly? Would you envision the Fed actually raising rates in short order if the economic damage doesn't occur the way that you potentially fear? And I have a second question, which is President Trump was just tweeting about you this morning and talking about the Fed's need to cut rates. Did you feel any political pressure to make this move?
So on your first question, we're always going to set monetary policy at a given time in a way that we think best serves our dual mandate goals. And it's as simple as that. So, if we get to a place where we think it's an appropriate time to change the stance of monetary policy, we won't hesitate to do that.
Okay, you can stop it there. Just stop it there. That we don't need the rest of his answer, because I'm not interested in his answer about defending the independence of the Fed from Trump. Not today. That's a lousy answer. The purpose of injecting, if what you're trying to do is to insure against a liquidity crunch from firms not being able to pay each other because of disrupted supply chains, if that's what you were up to, you should have had a better answer than that. The correct answer is, as soon as we see financial conditions in the market go back to normal, we will withdraw the liquidity we've injected today. It's the only answer you could possibly give. Not that we'll watch, we'll see what's going to happen, and we're going to look at our dual mandate. There's no signal in that. Now, intermeeting cuts have happened before. I actually put up a short blog post, and I'll retweet the blog post to you during the break, to go over the history of these. Two things about them. Normally, they're meant to deal with what appear to be real liquidity issues. There were three of them in 2008. There were a couple in 1998 surrounding long-term capital management's failure and the East Asian crisis before that. So that's two in 1998. You get the tech bubble pop in 2000, and they do that one. If there was anyone I would have disagreed with, that probably was the one. It's like, hey, you didn't need to do that. Intermeeting cuts are, everyone acted like, oh my gosh. Well, we haven't done one in 12 years, but we had done seven of them in the period between 1998 and 2008. The catch to this is we normally decrease rates again at the next meeting after we have done this particular cut. So I'm going to go back and take you through. Okay. They changed again to January 9, 2003. They introduced a different discount rate policy, and so they cut the discount rate by a quarter point, and then three meetings later they cut again in 2003 to 1%, and that was really the one that was the bad choice. That was the one when they're like, they probably kept it too low for too long, and that's the thing that set off the housing crisis. It started with the 2003 cut. Okay, go forward. They cut in 2007, August 17, 2007, and that's actually around the Washington Mutual, IndyMac, and the other mortgage companies that were going on there, the subprime mortgage crisis. They cut again a month later at a regular meeting. In fact, they cut through the next three meetings. 50 basis points the following regular meeting, and then 25 more at the next two. They then cut early in 2008. Okay, they take an intermeeting cut of 75 basis points because of the January stock market collapse. That's the one that I'm like, come on, we don't do it for that. Then they do an intermediate cut around Bear Stearns. And then they do the one right after the passage of TARP. That was 50 basis points. And in every time after that, they went ahead and cut again at the next meeting. So the only ones I can look at that they didn't cut right away after that would have been the last time they did it without cutting was 2003. So it is, in the minds of everybody now, a foregone conclusion that when the Fed meets in 10 days from now, they're going to cut again. That's what everyone wants to believe, which is why in the next segment I want to play for you a little cold water that got thrown on it from a source that you wouldn't have expected. We'll be back after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Say hey, good looking, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
Wow, Pro-Life Across America is celebrating its 30th year of saving babies.
That's right. Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We began 3 decades ago, and thanks to our supporters, we now have billboards, radio ads, and internet ads across the country.
So what have we learned in these 30 years?
No woman wants an abortion. Most feel panic, pressure, and alone. Our hotline receives an average of 200 to 250 calls a month. We connect callers with free, confidential, and life-affirming assistance.
Please help continue this legacy of support or post-abortion assistance. Visit us at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org. Or to donate today, simply press #250 on your cell phone and say the keywords pro-life. Pro-Life Across America, non-political and totally educational.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
Your music fills my car. Your voice breaks every time. I'm still wondering if I know who you are.
Nice.
Hang on every line.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show. This is 1440. I like that. We're going to have to let you start uploading the playlist onto Spotify. That'll be good. 651-289-4477 with questions, comments, and concerns. Did the Fed really blow it? He gets up and says, yep, I see demand issues, although I don't think he was terribly clear with that. And then when he's asked, are you going to reverse it, he really whiffs on the answer. And I think it's partly because the reporter combines her question with a question about, did you get pressured to do this from Trump? Which is like waving the red cape in front of the bull. No Fed official is going to respond well to that question. And so he ran past the answer that he needed to give regarding reversing, and then takes the catnip, talks about, well, no, we would never react. We're independent. We would never react to comments from political officials. We don't do that. Which, first of all, is not true. They do react. Anyone reacts to bad publicity in the political arena. And secondly, first of all, they all do react. And secondly, there's no real reason to believe that the Fed would have not done that. Yes, Trump had said, thanks for 50. Now give us a 50 more. Will they give you 50 next time? That's a good question. So the meeting is on Tuesday. And shortly after that, in fact, let me go. I've got to go get the date on this. Yes, this would have been yesterday, Friday. James Bullard, president of the St. Louis Federal Reserve, who has been considered largely a dove on monetary policy, not a super dove, not cut everywhere and always, amen, but someone who has been kind of pushing for to get rates down. He's not a voting member currently. And I thought this answers in, there's three questions in here, and what we're going to do is I'm going to try to have Eric play each question and answer and then discuss them during this segment. So let's play the first question and answer, Eric.
The market's done a lot since your 50 basis point cut. We're looking at the S&P down about 2%. We're looking at a 40 plus basis point move in the 10-year. What changed? Anything changed for you since 4 days ago?
Obviously, there's a lot of volatility in markets. Not surprising. Everyone's trying to get a handle on how to price trillions of dollars of stuff all around the world. And I think we're all struggling to try to understand what the effects of the coronavirus are. And so I'm not surprised by volatility in markets in that kind of situation.
So, good answer. So, first of all, just in case someone's new to the show and has not heard me say this before, President Bullard is a member of the Advisory Council for the School of Public Affairs, which I am the dean of. So we know him. He's a graduate. He got his undergraduate degree from St. Cloud State. He grew up in the suburbs of the Twin Cities. He's a known commodity to me personally, as well as to us here in St. Cloud. So if you ever think I'm shading something toward him, you should know there's some reason why you might want to assume that. That's perfectly fine and okay. That said, there is volatility in market because it's so difficult right now to price risk. Okay? I'm going to be quoting a little bit from an article, and I'll retweet this one to you. This is from Morgan Housel, who's a venture capitalist and currently works with a place called Collaborative Fund, and he occasionally blogs on their site, which I think is really interesting. And the first thing he reminds people is this. It is the advice of Daniel Kahneman, who won the Nobel Prize in Economics a few years back. Kahneman said, human beings cannot comprehend very large or very small numbers. It would be useful for us to acknowledge that fact. The risk of coronavirus is not large. And when I hear people, when people say to me, you're overblowing this. You shouldn't be talking so much about this. This isn't that big a deal. The flu kills more people, so forth. I say to them, at present, what we know, again, the novel in front of novel coronavirus means it's a new strand that has mutated out of other.
Hmm.
even as we speak. And the problem is this. There's a very small probability of a very bad outcome. It's to me like the fact, you know, someone said to me, here's my best example of that. Do you remember Robin Williams in The World According to Garp? There's a scene, I may have talked about this scene before because it's one of my favorite examples. There's a scene where he is shopping for a new home. The real estate agent drives him in front of a house. And at the very moment they're getting out of the car and looking at the front of the house that they're going to go into to consider buying, a plane flies in and crashes into the top of the house. There's a dormer window into the roof of the house, and it flashed. Grits right into it. Turns out the pilot walks out safely. Turns out it's actually John Irving, the author of the book that plays the pilot. Robin Williams turns to the real estate agent and says, "We'll take it." The his wife looks at him and is like, "What do you mean we'll take it?" He says, "Well, it just had a plane crash into it. You know that's never going to happen again." Which is a logical fallacy. Okay, because that's an independent event. There's no reason to believe that. But it just shows we are really bad as human beings at grasping risk. And so, yes, there's tons of market volatility because risk people don't like. People are averse to risk. I'm going to talk about that in a bit. But there's a real problem there. But that volatility results from the fact that people are trying to grasp probability, which is probably pretty low, of a very, very bad outcome happening. And how do we manage that versus the 99% of the time where it takes a pathway of, say, SARS or MERS or influenza A or Zika or something to that effect, which are things we've kind of figured out. Let's play the second part of this answer, please.
Well, if you, as Jay Powell said, cut to help restore confidence, not to be rude, but it looks like you failed. Is there anything you can do anything the Fed, a central bank, can do to save these people out there?
No, I think we correctly positioned the policy rate, given what we knew as of the Monday-Tuesday time frame. And everything's on the table. We're willing to do more, but we're monitoring the situation. We can meet at any time and move at any time in this kind of situation. I feel like we're playing this exactly as we should. There's downside risk to growth. We'll see how it plays out. Kind of seems like the market's pricing in the very worst case. Okay, but we'll take that on board and we'll go forward and monitor this day by day.
So that there's two things there that you should pay attention to. There's a cadence to the way he talks. So when he does that anytime, when he does that repeat, that's the thing he wanted you to remember. What he wants you to remember is we don't have to wait to the next meeting to act again. We could come out Monday morning and do another cut. If it looked like things were getting worse. And that's true. The Fed can do that. The Fed has the ability to basically turn itself on a dime. It doesn't have just 8 opportunities to make rate cuts or to do some other action. And it will. All right. The other thing you heard him say was, I think you've priced in the worst of it. Is again that belief that he seems to have that the degree of risk aversion that's out there is very, very large. And I wanted to talk about that, but let's put a pin in that piece. I want to play the remainder of what Bullard said right now.
Have you ever had less visibility on an economic outcome than you do right now?
I think there are times of uncertainty that you can point to in the past that are similar to this. We have had viruses in the past, H1N1, H7N9, SARS, Ebola. So there are precedents, and I would prefer to stick to those precedents for this case and not make the jump over to other types of crises that we've gone through in the past.
Which, again, was interesting because, I probably won't ever talk to him about this personally because, again, I see him 2-3 times a year. And we probably won't have this particular conversation. If he hears about it and gets back to me, that's awesome. I'd be happy to do so. But the way we think about risk is very, very different. So think about this. Okay? There's different ways to think about risk. There's known, and it comes from that Donald Rumsfeld famous line of there are known unknowns and unknown unknowns. When I play cards or I roll dice or I sit at the roulette table, all the risks that are out there are known to me. I know the entire distribution of not only the distribution of possible outcomes, but I can determine my gains and losses from those outcomes. And I can sit there and I can make some really good decisions about what it is that I'm betting on and decide whether or not I wish to place some money at risk or put resources at risk. How good am I at actually figuring out some outcomes where I don't actually know the risk numbers involved? I have a general sense of what they are, but I don't know them really well. So I'm going to put you in a position to think about the following for 3 minutes when we take the break. Here's your thought, and we can ramp up the music for the outro while I'm doing this. You're at a stoplight or you're at a stop sign and you're in a hurry to get home. You look down the road and there's a giant truck coming down the road at first. It looks like the speed such that if you pull out right now, you're going to be perfect. You're going to be just fine. But there's some small risk that your car's going to hesitate, and that truck's going to get you. It's going to hit you. And you're not sure you're going to survive that. How do you make that decision when you don't actually know what the probabilities are? We'll be back right after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Mama's gonna be pissed all day when it comes to leaving town.
Business 1440 is KYCR Golden Valley.
This is what Flow from Progressive sounds like in one of our commercials. You may have seen one there on TV occasionally.
And speaking of motorcycle insurance rates, did you know that our basic motorcycle policies start at just $75 a year? And speaking of insurance, I just love...
And this is how that same commercial sounds on your motorcycle. Yeah, everything's better on a bike. Progressive keeps you on yours. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Being a teenager is tough.
There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Minnesota's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their heads?
We play! Yeah!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
I'm on my third child and also on my third vehicle at Invergrove Hyundai. I'm Christelle from Mendota Heights. Did my research on high-rated vehicle, good value, and that brought me right to Hyundai. So now I'm on my third and also my third child, which brought up the need to upgrade the vehicle again. So now I'm in a Santa Fe, and Hyundai brings a lot of features to the table for not a lot of money. And considering I'm taking my kids in the vehicle, it's also a really highly rated vehicle as far as safety. So Invergrove Hyundai was able to work out just a great deal. I love that about working with Invergrove Hyundai. The staff and the salespeople really did close the deal for me because everyone has been just a joy to deal with.
Every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty. 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain and Hyundai Assurance. Choose from an amazing variety of new Hyundais and experience the incredible customer satisfaction for yourself now at their spring sales event. Online at InvergroveHyundai.com.
Quit smoking, chew, and vaping with this half-price offer from Business 1440 and breathe freedom from nicotine. Get one program for just $250. That's half price for the faster, easier, and more effective way to quit smoking. There's a limited number of these half-off deals available. It's just $250 for one person, meaning you could save thousands this year. Call Business 1440 today at 651-405-8800. That's 651-405-8800.
I don't know. My weakness I feel I must finally show. Lend me your hand and we'll conquer them all. But lend me your heart and I'll just let you fall.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show. This is 1440. Last segment for today.
But your soul you must keep totally free.
So are you still at the stop sign? Or did you cross? I used to do this story with my students, and the story I and this is actually a true story. I used to drive a stick shift. I'd pull up at the stop sign. This is a street that has a stop sign to cross Highway 10. And on the other side of this, and on one side of the street was the Dairy Queen, and on the other side of the street was the apartment where my wife and I lived. And on Sunday nights, we'd like to get ourselves each a little peanut butter parfait to sort of celebrate the end of the weekend, particularly in the summer. You know, you got the twins on. It's a good way to go. But it's hot, and the car I had at the time did not have the best of air conditioning. And, you know, we were newly married, and bringing home a melted peanut butter parfait to your new bride, it's not a good look, men. So I decided, you know, so I would think about wanting to cross that street. And I set this up with the students because when you're driving a stick shift and you've got a peanut butter parfait and they're top heavy, the only way to really handle it carefully and properly is to balance it on the seat between your legs. And on a hot summer day, you're probably not wearing long pants. So you can imagine how uncomfortable that is. And I talk about that. I say, okay, so this is the problem with trying to figure out risk. I can figure out risk in a poker game, okay? I can work out all the odds. Professional blackjack players know exactly what the odds are of looking at any table. They've learned that part. There's more to poker, and there's more to poker than blackjack, if you ask me. But a lot of what's in poker, you know, base skill is figuring out how many outs do you have, what are the odds that you're going to actually have the winning hand. But that... When you're thinking about an epidemic like this, you've got lots of different potential outcomes, most of which are not bad and probably don't require you to do too much more than putting some extra Purell on your desktop, washing your hands more frequently, and so forth. But there's a tiny subset of potential outcomes, potential worlds, in which something really, really bad happens. Okay, I just found out, I mentioned that Stanford's decided to move its classes all online. South by Southwest, which is the that big film music tech convention down in Austin, huge event, was to start next Friday. They just announced it's canceled. And I hear from a lot of people like, okay, that's just too over the top and so on. Let me go back to my Morgan Housel piece to remind you of various things. There are two different kinds. There are two different kinds of risks that you have out there. Okay, when you're trying to think about what those risks are, there's the odds, like the poker table, the average consequence of getting hit, be it the truck or the virus, And then the tail end consequences of getting hit. In other words, if you get hit 99 times, okay, so 8% of the time you're going to get the virus, nothing bad's going to happen. It's going to be like a cold. Okay. 20% of the time you're going to get pretty darn sick. Okay. I've been pretty darn sick before. In 10% of the 20% of the time, you're going to end up at the hospital. Okay, I've been at the hospital before. That's 2% of the outcomes. That's 50-1. And two people out of the 100 that go to the hospital and get tested and all that are going to die. So I'm now down to 0.04. It doesn't matter, because that tail end risk has such a terrible outcome to it. We're just not good at that. Go back to Kahneman. We're really bad with thinking about really large numbers, and we're really bad at thinking about really small numbers. And 0.0004 is a pretty small number. And my point is this, and this is his point. Let me quote this to you. It's part biology, it's part statistics, it's part politics, it's part sociology, it's part psychology. None of us have the answer to this. President Bullard, Chair Powell, Advisor Kudlow, President Trump, none of them have all the answers. But what we've done in our world really is we've done a terrible job. This is from Gerd Gigerenzer in his book Risk Savvy that Housel quotes, and I've actually started this book from Gigerenzer based on a podcast I heard. Our educational system, he writes, has an amazing blind spot concerning risk literacy. We teach our children the mathematics of certainty, like geometry, trigonometry, but not the mathematics of uncertainty and statistical thinking. And we teach our children biology, but not the psychology that shapes their fears and desires. Even experts, shockingly, are not trained how to communicate risk to the public in an understandable way. We're just not good at this. And we shouldn't be surprised by policymakers struggling to figure out how to answer it. So do we cut 50 basis points wasted? Possibly so. That may turn out to be true. But you'll never know all the possible outcome that didn't happen, in which that would have been a good idea. Thank you for listening. Back next week, King Banyan Show, Business 1440.
Limitless access to business and investment strategy. Listen to Business 1440 with our free app, your smart speaker, or with iHeart. Tune in. And radio.com. We live in the Twin Cities and invest worldwide.
If your house needs new windows, you may be justifiably concerned about the upcoming parade of three-hour window presentations. High pressure, high priced, and all say they have the only window in the world that is right for you. Well, this year, do the opposite. I'm Ryan with My Three Quotes, the one-of-a-kind free service that's the exact opposite of the typical window buying experience. First of all, I'm respectful of everyone's time. In less than an hour at your house, I'll have all the info I need to email you installed quotes on any window brand from multiple local contractors. Secondly, we find the best options based on your needs in your house. Whether it's Marvin, Anderson, or local vinyl brands, I know where to get you the best prices and quality. Thirdly, zero pressure, guaranteed. You move at your pace, and I'm always available to provide more options or meet you at showrooms until you're confident moving forward. When that time comes, I'll write up the order and do a walkthrough inspection when it's done. And did I mention I have the same free process for siding and roofing? Visit My3Quotes online to set up a free appointment. That's the number 3, My3Quotes.
I'm Staff Sergeant Mark Anthony Madrid.
I'm Staff Sergeant Samantha Cowell.
I'm Staff Sergeant Alex.
I'm Staff Sergeant William Lewis, and I am proud to defend my family and our nation.
The Air Force Reserve is part of the story of this great nation.
I'm grateful that I have a chance to wear the uniform of the heroes that went before me.
I'm proud to be part of a team that helps make a difference in the world.
Every day, men and women from communities across this nation serve as reserve citizen airmen. Even as technology evolves and changes, our commitment to defend and protect this nation remains steadfast. We celebrate those who have served and those who are proudly serving. We celebrate our proud history and look towards an exciting and uniting future. Our mission is to fly, fight, and win in air, space, and cyberspace.
And I am proud to be a member.
And I'm proud to serve in the United States.
And I am proud to protect our country.
Proud to serve in the U.S. Air Force Reserve.
AFReserve.com.
Let's face it, life can get busy. Between work, trips to the cabin on the weekends, keeping your eye on the markets, with everything going on, convenience usually comes at a premium. But Business 1440 is here to make things a bit easier. With the iHeartRadio app, you can stream your favorite shows anytime, anywhere, and it's free. Download iHeartRadio from the App Store or listen online at iHeartRadio.com and stay connected with your best financial partner wherever you go. Business 1440.
You gotta get those smoked ribs. They call it Rack Shack for a reason. 2141 Cliff Road in Eagan and at RackShackBarbecue.com.
Get that Rack Shack attack. Rack Shack Barbecue. Ooh, 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 yeah.
Your home.